that your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praise is on the way. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? Is sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know?
Praise you.
Keith, Sister Lee, your daughter's been holding out on us. That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The son you have delivered would one day deliver you.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Amen. Let's stand together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I was doing the same thing you probably did this week when I saw that on the shortest day of the year, that there'd also be a lunar eclipse. How many just couldn't help but put two and two together a little bit? So I grabbed my daughter Leah and Sister Jenny. Never should do that to girls. I said, honey, here's a folio of yous. I said, now type in moon turns to blood. So because it wasn't only going to be a lunar eclipse, it was going to be on the shortest day of the year, and it was going to be red. So I said, just type in moon and blood. So there's three references in the Bible. So she typed it in, and I could tell her eyes got big like saucers. But it also said there has to be an earthquake. So I said, honey, if God would send an earthquake somewhere in the world that would be at least 6.5 to 7, then it would be some sort of an indication. So how many saw what happened in Iraq? Okay, 6.5, an earthquake in the Middle East. So you say, well, is that significant? Of course it is. Before God ever does anything on earth, he shows it in the heavens. So he's telling us that we're closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. You remember when What a lunar eclipse is when the earth gets in the way of the sun and darkens the church. That's what a lunar eclipse is. So it's just one more indication of just the nearness of the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so, you know, my Debbie says, what are you doing? I went somewhere and I came back. And Jenny, you know how it is. And so I get back home and she says, what are you doing to the kids? They're scared to death. I said, hey, there's been no earthquake. And overnight they had the earthquake. And now they're not here tonight. I've never told them there was an earthquake. But see, I know for kids that's kind of hard. They want to get their driver's license and get married and have kids themselves. And I understand that. But for us old timers, it's not a matter of listening to me. You have all been through hardships, difficulties. But I don't want to leave this earth because of hardships and difficulties. It's not that at all. There's such a longing to be with the bridegroom, to be with everything we sing about, pray about, everything that we come to church for. I'm looking forward to stepping out of this body and being with him. And whether in old age or whether in a rapture, I pray for a rapture, you know. I pray that it won't be long and Sister Maria will be united with her beloved. And, you know, and you each have loved ones on the other side. For some of you, there's more of you over there than there is here. And the older we get, that's the way it is. So I believe that those things, those lunar eclipses, the shortest day of the year that it would happen on, and the earthquake, of course that has a meaning. What is its absolute signification? We don't know. But we know those are a portent, because in all three it says that was the day of the Lord, or the times of judgment. The times of judgment. So those times have already set in. But it's only going to get more prevalent and more prevalent. God's mercy is with the bride. His love and passion, his focus. If you can imagine, God's entire focus is on the bride of Jesus Christ around the world. How many can understand that? While the world goes into judgment. How many believe that when the Hebrews were leaving Egypt, going to the promised land, God's entire focus was on them? It was. That was his entire drama. It was his entire focus. It was on them. And he wrote about it. And that was his passion, was the Hebrew children. Well, now his passion is the Gentile bride. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing this as Brother Burley comes. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Amen. And the things of earth will grow strange in the light of his glory and grace. God bless you, brother.
Good to see everybody out tonight. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just appreciate Brother Jeff for allowing us to be here tonight. And we don't want to prolong the time, if you will. We want to turn to Matthew 19. And I appreciate Brother Jeff allowing us to be here by the grace of the Lord. And I try not to hold you long tonight. We'll try to get this over with.
Take your time.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's a dangerous thing to say, take your time. I think I probably said here before, you know, a lot of people are really in the message of the hour. They can't take no more than an hour of preaching. They certainly end the message an hour. Matthew chapter 19. And we want to read a few verses here. Let's go over here to the seventh verse. And we understand this is the scripture Brother Branham used in marriage and divorce. Sometimes when you read Matthew 19, people get quieter and get to looking around and wondering, oh, what is he going to preach on marriage and divorce? You know, I'm a strong believer. I'm not afraid to preach on marriage and divorce, but I do that at my church because I feel that's a pastor's duty to deal with that in his own local assembly. I'm a strong believer of that. But I do know there are certain things you can hit on it, not get into a pastor's position there. There's certain things you can say, amen. But getting into the depths of those things, I don't do that. I just do that at my own church. But we want to read this in Matthew 19, verse 7. And it said, they say unto him, I want you to listen and say, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? And he says unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffer you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it wasn't so. He said, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marries her is putteth away, thus can commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, if this case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive the saying, save they to whom it is given. Can we just bow our head? Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And we just pray that you just help us tonight, oh God, and just calm our hearts, calm our spirits, that we'll be willing to sit here to receive what you have to say to us, oh God. It is a shame in the time that we are in, oh God, that when it comes to church time, we be want to watch our time. But when we're doing certain things in this world, we don't care about time. But Lord, we ought to really look at these times that there are great opportunities that we have to come to assemble one another in like precious faith, oh God, just to hear the eternal words of God. And I pray that you just help us tonight, Father. And may you just keep us and guide us, we pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. I want to minister on tonight, if the Lord would help us. I want to preach on, from the beginning, it wasn't so. And my subtitle is Josiah. And it might take me a minute to kind of get to where I want to get to, but I believe by God's grace we could get there. Amen. And I just really want to say once again, I appreciate Brother Jeff allowing us to be here tonight. I know lately I've been looking at the Global Answerings, and I really want to encourage Brother Jeff, Brother Lonnie, Brother Strew. Keep that going. I believe you are. I ain't got all of them. I'm at 31, but it's really been a blessing. And I appreciate the approach, how they handle those things. When was the last time one of you guys told them you appreciated it? When was the last time you told your pastor you appreciate him? You see, a lot of times we get mad when the pastor don't tell us that, but we don't realize how we treat the pastor. Praise the Lord. You see, I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's nothing, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We know that. But I believe that we're in such a time that God is taking away all of our comfort zones to getting us more and more into a place where we're going to completely trust in him. I believe that's what God is doing, brothers and sisters, because down through the years, we had our little comfort zone, years of plenty, and all these things. And prayer life wasn't like they should be. Don't get me wrong now. When things going good, you might pray. Oh, yeah, we'll pray. But I tell you one thing, friends. When you're going through hard times, your prayers is totally different. They got more meaning to it, more sincerity to it. And God knows how to get us to the place he wants us to be, so we'll call upon him. Amen. What I'm going to minister on tonight is really not an easy subject for what's in my heart. But I just got to, it's been pulsating on my heart with what we want to deal with. And I got some things that I want to say, and I hope that it could help, because that's our only purpose when we minister, is to try to put our shoulder with the ministry to help one another. That's our heart desire. But I want to share some things with you that might be eye-opening to you, because I study the move of things, and I always look back when I come in the message. I've been in the message right at about 21 years, and I study things, and I look at things, and that's just the way that I am. And I've been noticing different ministries, listening to different preachers and so forth like that. I want to share something with you, friends. If you are at least 45 years old and down, you are not too far away from where young people think. I want you to just listen carefully to what I'm saying. Because I look back in time, when I first come into the message, it used to be different brethren. You hear brothers talk about, we call them old timers. And we don't so much say it because of their age. And I find that back in the days, when I come in the message, you would hear a lot of things about legalism. Hello? This brother is a legalist. This brother is a legalist. He don't let the young children do this, and they don't participate in that. And them brothers just don't get into all these things. They're just nothing but a bunch of legalists. That's what I used to hear. But you know what I found out, brothers and sisters, that I began to look at the whole scope of things. You would find individuals that's around 40 years old, 45 years old. In that time, we are familiar with video games. Now you get brethren maybe 50 and 55 up and going on up. In their days, them things didn't too much bother them. They didn't really get into them, and they didn't play them. I'm just being honest with you. But around 44 and 45 on down, we kind of still right there. That's why I can still relate to the young people and a lot of things that they're doing. I can relate to it because I'm old, but I ain't that old. I'm getting there, but you know, I just want you to understand what I'm saying. You see, what happened with ministers, even around my age and in time that we in, by them looking at the old timers saying that they was too legalistic, they took it upon themselves to maybe start showing a little more grace to the young people and indulging in more things of the world. Say, we don't want to be like that. Let's go ahead and just let them do more things. See, that's what went on. But what don't happen now, they found out that the old timers that stayed away from those things wasn't really too bad. Because by them injecting, letting this go, now look what it done got our children into. So what it's going to take, God going to need some young people or some ministries to look back, go back to the old timers way. Come on now, where they believed in strict holiness. In Brother Jeff's time, Brother Lonnie's time, you don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching against youth camps and youth meetings because I do them myself. But back in the days, you didn't need a youth camp or youth meeting to get the youth converted. Come on now, friends, because you had parents at that time kept an altar in their home and they worked with their children. Come on now. And see, and now don't get me wrong, I do youth camps myself, and I got no problem with that. And I know Brother Branham, he call them rallies, youth rally. I understand. But on the scale that we do them now, it didn't used to be like that back in the time. You got more youth camps and things going on, and it seemed the children are getting worse. But when you didn't have hardly many at all, they seemed to be better. Because you see, what done got to a place now, their minds are set, I'll get right with God when I go to the camp. It shouldn't be that way. That ain't the point of having youth meetings. The point, it should be, we want to have our children at least somewhere they can gather over the summer that they can fellowship around the word. Are you with me? But see, what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, the time to where things are now, I can say unto you from the beginning, that wasn't not so. It was not so. And I'm going to share some things with you, and I'm not trying to step on nobody's toe, but I'm just being honest. Amen. Because the time that we're living in, as you go to youth meetings, and I myself preach them, I see more adults in youth meetings than I do young people. That's right. And then you get some adults get offended at the young people not wanting to be interested in church. I said, look, I said, ain't no need you being offended. I said, behold, the seeds that you sow, now you see them in your children. I said, because you dragging church, now they dragging church. They watch you sleeping in church, they sleeping in church. They watch you not interested in church, now they're not interested in church. A lot of things we want to tag and blame on our young children, but I think it's time for parents to really look back and go back to the beginning. Find out where they were in the beginning. See, what have I let down and caused my child to do that I should not have done? Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. You see, in the scripture that we're reading here, Jesus told them, he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it wasn't so. Now, according to the scripture here, we got to understand Moses knew what God's perfect will was. Come on now. He knew what the perfect will was, but God permitted it to be changed to a permissive will because of the hardness of the hearts of the people. But Jesus took them back to the beginning. He said, but in the beginning, it wasn't so. You see, what don't happen around the message, a lot of things we let our young people do, and we know it's not the perfect will of God, but because of the hardness of their hearts, let down standards and let them do it. But I'm here to tell you, young people, a lot of things you might be doing now, that don't mean it right because your parents let you do it, because you need to go back to the beginning and find out what was right and what was wrong. Can we say praise the Lord? So we're going to go back to the beginning, amen. And I just want to point out some things. And you know, you take it high. You remember, it's just like you say, well, Brother Burley, I don't know about that, brother. You shouldn't be preaching that. Well, I just want to read that scripture to you again. He said, all men cannot receive the saying, say to them whom it is given to. Praise the Lord. Let me get this jacket off. It's getting pretty hot up here. Where could I put this? Oh, man, got glasses and still can't see. That's bad, ain't it? Okay, thank you. I never use this thing in your mind here. Oh, there we go. And God knows I hate these glasses. But I ain't got no choice, I promise you. I have no choice. Trying to drive it, especially at nighttime, I can't even really see the signs until I get right up on them. That ain't good. Everything is just blurry. I said, boy, I said, got to put them on. I said, I got to wear them. I just got to wear them. Amen. But anyway, he says from the beginning, it wasn't so. So Moses, he knew what the perfect will is, but because of the hardness of the heart of the people, God permitted them a written of divorcement. And you find today, because of the hardness of a lot of young people, they keep pressing their parents. Mama, let me do this. Mama, let me go here. Let me have that. And the parents know it ain't quite right. But because of the child keep pressing them and pressing them and pressing them, they give in. But they know what the perfect will is. I want y'all to keep following my thought because we're going to just work with some things tonight. Is that all right? If you will, go with me. We're going to remember our thought is from the beginning it wasn't so. And my subtitle is Joash, Josiah. And I'm just going to be honest with your brothers and sisters. Divorce shouldn't even be mentioned amongst our young people. Shouldn't even be mentioned. But look how many of them you're having now are young people that growed up in this message. You know, people want to go back and say, well, Brother Branham, he permitted this one, he permitted this one. That's right. The angel of God told Brother Branham, he gave me permission to tell you to go on as you are and sin no more, right? But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you was raised up in this message, born in this message, there is no permissive will gospel for you. It's no permissive will. It's the perfect will for you. And I think we need to keep that before our young people about making the vows. They can mess themselves up. They make them vows, not doing it the right way. I think we need to keep that before them so to stay in their conscience so they won't take these things so lightly. Amen. 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 How many young people, I could probably, they come to me. Sometimes young people come to me. Well, brother, I know some young people don't make their vows together. And now they, I said, go talk to your pastor. I only deal with them things at my house, my church. You talk to your pastor. I said, I know the answer, but talk to your pastor. But it's a shame of how young people are approaching marriage and stuff. They're doing it like it's a tryout. Marriage is not a tryout. Marriage is something that you pray about, amen, and you feel that you're now ready for a companion, and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to show you who is he or she is. Is that right? But today, they just want a tryout. See how it works, see how it happened, and if it don't work, well, at least a try. That's the wrong thought, friends. That is the wrong thought. Amen. Let's go a little further here. I want you to notice, from the beginning, it wasn't so. Turn with me to Exodus 12. There are a lot of things, many scriptures we could refer to dealing with this thought. After I can get the thought laid out, then I want to kind of work with it a little bit. Because I don't care what problem it is, the best way to solve a problem is find out how it started. If you can find out how it started, then you can start working on how to solve it. Is that right? And I like how Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, when you got a question about something, he said, if you got the right answer, you can use your answer to answer the question. He said, you can use your answer to prove the question. Is that right? So we say 5 + 5 = 10. Is that right? 5 + 5 = 10. So we ought to be able to break 10 down to prove 5 + 5. Amen. Then you know you got the right answer. Amen. But I want you to notice, in the beginning, many things in life, that's why when I talk to people, people want to run around circles, don't want to get to the point. I like to get to the root of it and find out what the problem is at and uproot that thing. If it's not right, then we can go on. But people want to skip over, they want to skip over repentance. When something is wrong in somebody's life, you need to repent. You won't get no farther until you do that. You're going to be in that same spot. I don't care how much religious you get and feeling like you're more super spiritual. You ain't going to go no farther than that right there. But today, people do not want to repent. They just want to smooth things over. Nope, you got to repent if you done wrong. Ain't no way around that, friends. But let's just deal with this for a minute. In Exodus 12, let's go to the first verse. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Now I want you to notice, in Exodus 12, what God is doing. God is telling them, this month is going to be the beginning of the months for you. He said, it shall be the first month of the year to you. What God is willing to do for the children of Israel right here is forget about their past. And give them a total new beginning. Give them a fresh start. Forget about their past. God telling them right here, here is your new beginning. I'm not worried about what you've done in Egypt now. I'm going to take you out of here and start you over fresh. That's why you will find all down to the scripture, he'll always refer back to how Moses brought your fathers out of Egypt. How God brought your fathers out of Egypt. He always kept taking them back to the beginning, show them how they was brought out with a mighty hand of God, and then show them how they fell. But he said, go back to the beginning and just trust God. Is that right? Amen. I want you to notice something. He was willing to give them a new beginning. Amen. Now, if you will, turn with me to 1 Kings 11. I'm going to use this beginning here. It's many of them we can find. I just want to use this one about Solomon. In 1 Kings 11, Brother Branham said that when Solomon built the temple, he called that the children of Israel golden age. He said, like the millennium, not the millennium, he said, but kind of like the millennium. And he said, because there was no wars, and he said, and it was a fresh move of the Holy Spirit, God moving amongst them. He said, it was kind of like that in their beginning. So I want to take what Solomon had, how God established Solomon, because we understand by what Solomon done, he is the one, amen, brought idolatry amongst the children of Israel. Solomon did. That's what led it right up to Daniel's 70 weeks because of what Solomon done. Is that right? But I want to talk about that for a moment. How God established Solomon. He told Solomon, whatever's in your heart, I'll give it to you. He said, just keep my rules, keep my law, and I will establish you. He said, even everything that you want, he said, I'll give it to you. And I just want to share this with you. He gave Solomon a fresh beginning when the temple of Solomon was built. But at the same time, God still got rules. He can give you, he gave you and me his best, but he still got rules. When God gives us something, that don't mean we can go out and do whatever we want to do with it. He still got rules. Is that right? And I want you to notice, he told Solomon, you know, he told Solomon what to do, how he's going to establish him and so forth. But we're going to find out what Solomon began to go wrong, because God is no respecter of person. He didn't have no respect to person with David, Solomon, Brother Branham, and he certainly ain't got none with you and me. God means what he says. Can we say amen? And I want you to notice in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, we want to start talking about Solomon's downfall here. How everything was flourishing with the children of Israel. Because when God came to Solomon, you remember when the ark came into its place, and then the Shekinah came down, and it had 120 trumpets there. But when God's presence came, they couldn't even minister. The priests couldn't do that because God's presence was there. That's a type of what he done on the day of Pentecost with the 120 compounded with Solomon's temple. Because on the day of Pentecost, that's where he inaugurated the church and gave them their best. That's why we go back to what? Pentecost. Is that right? We find out something going on today, and if it ain't in the book of Acts, we can say in the beginning it wasn't so. That's why the message come to take you and I back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. That's why we got a rule. We got a goal, a guideline. We can keep going back like he established it in the church age. He said, every church I don't want to approximate and be just like it was in the Ephesian church age. We want you to have that desire to be just like the Ephesians were. And one thing I like about the Ephesians, they did not just play church. They took steps to keep the church clean. They didn't want nothing coming in amongst them. They took steps. And I believe you and I, we got to do the same thing to keep the church clean and keep these vessels clean. That's our job, isn't it? By the grace of God. And I want you to notice Solomon. 1 Kings verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go to them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their God. And said, Solomon clay unto these in love. Solomon broke the word of God. Turn with me to Exodus 34, and we'll go back to Kings. One thing I like about the scripture, when Moses laid the laws out, that's what the children of Israel would refer back to. You remember when David, over there in Chronicles, when David, he began to call Joab, he told Joab to go number the people. And you remember that plague came amongst the children of Israel. You know, you should always wonder about that. Why did God get so angry? Because he just numbered the people. Even Joab knew that David was wrong. But when I went back to the book of Exodus and I found what the law meant, then I see why God got mad at David. Because when David numbered the people, he broke the law. He did not take a ransom from there. He did not take a ransom money. And the Bible says in Exodus that whenever thou numberest the people, thou must take a shekel of silver, a ransom for their soul. Thou must take it. And David did not do that. And God got very, very upset. I'm saying that for you because David broke the law and God didn't like that. And we're going to see Solomon done the same thing. Exodus 34, verse 12. Take heed to yourself that least thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord God, whose name is jealous, a jealous God, let thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after other gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat his sacrifice.
and thou take of their daughters, thy sons and their daughters, and go whoring after other gods, and make thy son go whoring after other gods, thou shalt make thee no molten images. This is the law that God established in Exodus 34, and this is the law that Solomon broke. He did totally contrary to what God said right here in Exodus. And God told him, flip back with me to 1 Kings. We'll find out what God says about it. I guess got a little bit of reading, then we'll try to preach a little bit. Are we all right tonight? Back to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Did exactly what the scripture said it was going to do. Solomon couldn't be like, well, I'm going to go ahead and try that anyway. That don't apply to me. I mean, it ain't going to happen. No, it happened just the way God told him. He said, if you mix up with them, they're going to turn your heart away. And it happened just the same way. And it's the same thing today. We try to tell these young people, you're going to marry somebody not in the faith. They're going to turn you straight away from the gospel. It ain't no way around it. But a lot of times people want to get married to convert somebody. No, they need to be converted before you marry. That's the way it goes. Is that right? At least the last one I checked, that's the way it went. But of course today, we want to change with modern revelation. It can't be that way, brothers and sisters. No, sir, it can't be that way. Listen what he says right here. And he said, for it came to pass, the fourth verse. I want you to watch this now. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turn away his heart after other gods. Now, it distinctly talks about when he got old, that's when his heart was turned. Are you with me? So we can see through his younghood life, even though he had broke the rule, broke the scriptures, he wasn't turned to their gods yet. His heart wasn't turned yet until time went by. As time began to go by, as he began to get old, then his heart began to turn. And I think that's one thing that don't happen to the message. As time is going by, people are letting their hearts get changed back, changed from what it used to be in the beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Solomon got a little age on him. They said, now it's time to attack. Because that's what they did to him. We'll find out in a minute. Now it's time to attack. And that's one thing people love to do. When you get a little, when you've been around a little bit, don't got a little relaxed and so forth, then they start ready to attack with reasoning.
That's
right. I'm going to tell you, I was shocked. I'm going to get back to the scripture. I was down here in Boynton Beach, Florida. And I preached a sermon. And I was preaching, I can't remember what it was. And after the service was over, three little boys come up to me. They couldn't have been no more than seven or eight. Three of them come up to me after the service, little scholars. They come up to me, Brother Burley. I said, yes, sir. I said, good message. I said, appreciate that. Thank you. I said, well, something about what you said, though. I said, okay, what was that? They said, about this parent thing. I said, okay, what you got? I said, well, Brother Burley, I feel like parents sometimes stress things too far. I said, really? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, they just over-exaggerate on certain things. The other little two, yeah, 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 that's right, that's right. Three little stoogers. I said, look at these guys. And I'm just sitting like that. I'm like, look at these. I'm talking about their language, how they were laying it out. I'm like, these guys are very intelligent. He said, they just, there's certain things they don't have to carry on the way that they do. I said, hold on a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. I said, give me an example of what you're saying. He said, okay, I'll give you an example. He said, for instance, he said, I made a D on my report card. He said, and my parents just went crazy. He said, Brother Burley, they did not have to act like that. He said, them things, he said, you can pull up a D. Those things can be pulled up. They do not have to act like that. I said, by the confession of your own mouth. I said, if you said that thing can be pulled up, I said, why did you make it? Hello? He said out of his own mouth, I can pull that D up. I can pull it up. I said, if you can pull it up, why did you ever make the D? I said, that's why your parents is upset with you. They know you got potential that you can do better. And said, you're not doing better. He said, man, I clap, you got me, Burley. The little fella just took his little crew and walked away. But the reasoning that I call, that's some professional reasoning right there. That was good. I'm listening, and I'm like, "Ooh, when they get older, I don't want to be around them." No, sir. And I asked him, I said, "Who is your dad? I want to know who your dad is." He said, "Oh, you're my dad over there. I want to tell the daddy you got a wizard right there. You better be careful with that one right there." That's what you call smart, shrewd, and a lot of wisdom, friends. Come on now. And if them child, if that children, if they mind keep going in that direction, they're going to come a bunch of philosophers and a bunch of reasoners, and they're going to reason everything you tell them. They'll break it down. That's what they'll do. That's what young people do today. When you be telling them something, they're analyzing it.
That's right.
Thinking of how they can disprove what you're saying. I know this might be a little off my subject, but let me tell you something, saints of God. What's going on today, the best deception is doing it openly. Because you won't expect it. Let me give you an example. How many of y'all know Michael Jackson? Raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand, Michael Jackson. Go ahead, come on. Okay, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant. Go on, raise your hand. Don't be scared. What about Jay-Z? Jay-Z. Raise your hand. I want you to notice no older people raised their hand when I said Jay-Z. Because you don't know who he is. But they do. And what children do today, they can sit right in front of you at the kitchen table and talk about rappers. And as far as you know, that's somebody go to their school. Yeah. Do it right in your face. Oh, Jay-Z, he's a nice fella. Yeah. Oh, girl, I just love him. You be like, who is that? Ah, yeah. No, he's a rapper, and he's full of demons. I'm telling you, he's full of them. You see, I can name old names. Young and old raise their hand. But the more modern I get with the name, our hands goes down and the younger hand stays up. And they know we don't know that, so they'll do wrong right in front of you, and you think they're doing right. Can we say amen?
Amen.
They said, take my time, I'm gonna do it.
Right.
Now can we get back to where the scriptures? Let's go back to the scriptures. We're here in Kings. And he says right here, for it came to pass, 1 Kings 11, verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart from turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech and the abomination of the children of Ammon. So we see now how Solomon, you see a lot of things we talk about Solomon, we don't really get into where Solomon done wrong. We just talk about how he built the temple. Amen? But now we're seeing here in scripture that Solomon, actually, he fell off from the beginning, because Solomon was the beginning is what David taught him. David told him to keep his heart perfect. David told Solomon what to do. Solomon fell from his beginning.
Amen.
And this is what brought idolatry amongst the children of Israel.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord? Now I want you to notice something, friends. I'm going to try to skip a hop a little bit. When Solomon done that, God came to Solomon. When you keep on reading down in the scripture, God told Solomon, I'm just kind of paraphrasing a little bit. God was disappointed what Solomon done. And then he told Solomon, because thou done this, thy servant, he's going to take 10 of the tribes. Amen. And then he said, for David's sake, he'll give a tribe to Rehoboam, which we know that was Jeroboam and Rehoboam come on the scene, right? But you find out in the scripture, of course, we know he had Judah, David had Judah, and I believe Benjamin, I believe he had those two. But you find out in the scriptures, as time went by, all sorts of things began to come in amongst the children of Israel. Idolatry and all of these false gods worship. All of these things began to happen. But you know what? what I want to get to is with Josiah, the Bible tells us when Jeroboam was down at the altar making an offering, I think he was at Bethel, then a prophet came to him. Amen. And when that prophet came to Jeroboam, he began to prophesy to Jeroboam and tell him what was going to take place and what was going to happen to his altar and what's going to go on and perspire out of that. And then he mentioned, he called Josiah's name. He said, a man by the name of Josiah, he'll come down and tear down this altar. Yeah. I want you to keep following with me now. He called his name Josiah. But you know what, brother and sister, if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 3, I think Josiah either was the 15th or the 16th king. From the time that that prophet told Jeroboam that, if you will start adding up, some reigned 40 years, some reigned 20 years, some 10 years. You start adding up all of those years. By the time that that prophet said that to Jeroboam, you might get up to about 300 to 400 years. But in the midst of that time of all of those years before Josiah came on the scene, look at all of that apostasy and all of the things went wrong right in the midst of that because of what Solomon did. Yes, praise the Lord. Amen. But now look back just 40 years. When the prophet of God left the scene, how many years it was? Look what don't happen in between 40 years versus when it took place 300 to 400 years in the Bible. Yes, sir. Look how quick it took place. Yes, didn't our brother Branham said that? He said, you Pentecostals, you talk about what the Catholics done. He said, but you even speed up and corrupt worse than what they did. And it happened just the way that he said. Amen. Is that right? So now look in this little short time span, how people's lives just going down and they become more like the denomination of believers in the denomination church than ever before. Friend, ain't no need of trying to put our eyes out. We can see it clearly. And it got to be a reason for that. And I'm going to tell you what the reason is. They have left the beginning. You need to go back to your true love when you first come back into this message and say, God, lift me back up and try me again, and I will not fall and go through the same things I've been through. That's what it's going to take, brothers and sisters. Can we go a little further? Let's go over here to 2 Kings. I'm skipping a lot. I just love the scripture so much. We're going to go to 2 Kings. Chapter 23. I want you to notice. Oh, that's not the scripture I want. I kind of rushed in here. Yep, 22, that's what I want. I kind of rushed in here and start trying to write the notes and print them out. I got to get it quick, so appreciate that, Brother Stru. I appreciate teachers. Amen. Amen. I do. I appreciate somebody, and they can kind of catch your thought, kind of know where you're going, and say, "There, were you." I appreciate that. I don't get mad. Some ministers be like, "That." You know, some ministers got pride. They wouldn't pay him no attention. They would have just been like, he could say 22. Oh, it's chapter 22. That's pride, friend. That ain't nothing but pride. I got no problem. You know, I do it in my own church sometimes. I say, I'm thinking of a scripture. And the deacon say, oh, said, I appreciate it, brother. And that don't bother me. If I don't know where it's at, I don't know where it's at. At least I know what it says. Amen. Praise the Lord. A young brother was preaching one time. He told me how he got embarrassed. He said the pastor told him, turn to a certain scripture. And he a preacher. And the pastor told him, turn to a certain scripture. He said he had his Bible. And he said he was fumbling with it. He couldn't remember. He said, in his mind, he started saying, what is that? I know where it's at, but I can't go right to it. So he started fumbling with his Bible. And then in his mind, the devil called, you're a preacher. Now people could be looking at you, watching you fumble through your Bible. They're going to be like, hey, a preacher don't know where he at. He said, so what he did, he pretended like he was at the scripture while the pastor reading, amen. Amen. He said, now what if the pastor would have said, brother, finish the rest of them verses for me? That's pride. And you think that's bad? What about people that really act like they're on the mountain and they're not? But they don't want you to know it because it will ruin their image. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. All this time, all these years goes by. Now here comes Josiah coming on the scene. And it says right here, 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Boscus. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Other words, Josiah stayed in the middle. But did you realize what he said his heart was like? David his father, he went back to the beginning. He went back to Solomon's beginning, where Solomon's heart should have stayed like the heart of his father. See, now Josiah, he's to the right place where Solomon should have stayed. Can you say amen? Now I want you to notice the scripture now. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go to Hilkiah the priest, that he may sum the silver which he brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Now, I want you to watch something. Only thing that's in Josiah's mind is to go see how much money we got in the treasury so we can fix the church. Amen. But Josiah, he's going to get more than what he was looking for. Friends, I hope I can just let this be so plain so what we can see this. I really do. Because there's something in here I want to show you. One thing you got to realize, when he became a king, he was 8 years old. Being at 8 years old, he was blinded to a lot of things that was going on in front of him. But as far as he knew, it was right. And the Bible says in the 18th year of his reign, now he's 26 years old. Now he tells them to go into the temple to find out how much money we got in there, right? But when they go into the temple, let's just see what happened. I know you know the story, but some things that's laying right there we really need to look at. And he says right here, what verse we at here? Verse 7. Let's skip down to the 8th verse. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, which is Josiah, and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Friend, this is rich. I want you to watch this. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achan, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Notice what he said, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. It goes back to the fathers. Amen. He realized our fathers, they did not keep the word, and we did not know better. Now look what problem we got now. From the beginning, it wasn't so. Amen. Let me tell you something, friends. That's why down through the ages, if adults would have kept their standards, make no difference how much the children squirm and cry and, oh, you're hateful and you're mean. And no, they just beating on you because of the hardness of their heart. They just getting you to break down your standards. But if adults down through the years just would have stayed right there, committed that child to God, kept those standards in their house, kept that message before them and leave it right there and let God do the work, a lot of their children wouldn't be in the shape they in today. But they let the children beat them, beat them, beat them, beat them. Then they gave in. Yes, sir. And if you ever want to find something that'll hurt a church, you get some weak families in that church. They don't care what they let their children do. Let their children go do this, go all kind of thing. You want to get some problems in the church, let one of them families get in your church. You got to go back to Brother Bannon said in the message, Total Deliverance. If we could do that, if every church could go back what he preached in Total Deliverance, he said, if the church agrees that not one member should have a deck of cards in his house, he said that we don't believe in playing cards and so forth. He said, not one member should have a deck of cards in their house. Because when families come together, got a vision of the word, we're going to follow this message. We're not going to compromise. Let's group up together as a body of believers supposed to be, keep the right standard. The children won't have nowhere to bounce around.
Amen.
I'll be willing to bet any one of you, you watch where a child loves to go all the time. It's going to be one or the other thing. They go into a house where the standards are low and they can do what they can do what they can do at that house, what they can't do in their own.
Yes.
That person, that young child just ain't getting no love in his house at all. He getting it from another house.
Yes, right.
It'll be one or the other. That's why every one of us in our own home, you are responsible for raising your children. Not a brother or sister in your church. You are responsible for raising your children. And if it's a child that don't have parents, we ought to group up as a gather and work with that child.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
It's the truth, friend. It really is the truth. Amen. We're moving right on. Josiah, we want to watch his actions of what Josiah did. Everything changed when Josiah seen and heard the words of the book. That changed, that gave him different vision. That gave him different understanding of all these things that's been withholding from him. Now, why did the prophet of God say to you and me that when it came to the opening of the word, the Bible became a new book? Is that right? When the word became revealed to you and the opening of the word came open to you, that you picked up your Bible after you read those seals, everything was different. So we can see the same kind of effect happened to Josiah. When he heard the word, everything changed.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. Let's go a little further. Let's keep reading down. And we understand how he went to a prophet, a prophetess, I think of what her name was, Hilda. What her name, Hilda. He went to her and she told him, and this is what I love, when she told them, she said, the man that sent you here, he said, tell him, I'm paraphrasing a little bit to save a lot of reading, all these things in the book is going to come to pass. She said, but because when he heard the word, his heart was tender.
Yes, amen.
His heart was tender when he heard it. Amen? He'll go and rest with his fathers. I tell you something, brothers and sisters, I wish all of us would go back and really begin to think about, I'm not talking about all of it. You fit this category, friend, and realize with things that you don't drop down in your life, I hope your heart would get tender. I hope your heart would get tender and you say, God, I can see where I did drop my standards. Because it is so important today to keep that word before your children and keep working with them. And you got to work with them. Preaching to the young people is one thing, but working with them is a total and different one. Is that right?
Yes.
I tell you, so much nonsense. And I tell you, friends, it hurts my heart when you can get a man. Sometimes it's a woman, but most of the time it'd be a man. When he can go to his own house because he got a disagreement with the pastor, he'll spread it to his family. What you have done, you have killed that pastor influence. The children will sit right in the church and they'll just stare at him because of the poison that you don't put in their minds. That's what those children would do. He can try to counsel them, it won't work because of the poison that the parents don't put in them. That's why if a man got a problem with his pastor, he ought to not even tell his wife, get with that pastor alone and try to settle their differences. That's what they ought to do. And if it's something come up and they say, well, brother, let's get some witnesses over this situation. And his pastor, he want to do it. I'm sure a good pastor will. He said, well, brother, we'll get a couple brothers. We'll discuss the situation. And if that brother find out and been taught in verses of the message in the Bible, his idea is wrong. If he got the Holy Ghost inside of him with all of those witnesses, he ought to tally up to the word.
Amen.
And don't even say nothing to his wife about it. Leave it alone. But if the pastor proven wrong, according to the message in the scripture, he got every right. He want to go to another church. That's his business. But let him leave, not poisoning the man, poisoning the man's character, because you never know, you might have to go back across that bridge again.
Yes, sir.
I never want to put a bad example. A young, an adult, I don't care how much I disagree with him in my church, in my children, I never want to put it in their mind where they can't never listen to that man, even though me and him disagree, because it could be something he could say one day to help my child. But today, they want to make sure they express everything, express their hate. That's what Saul did to the followers that he had. Don't you know all of them men that were chasing David, they didn't even understand why they was doing it. They was under the influence of Saul. That's why when you go to the book of Chronicles, when they brought David back, those that kept rank with a perfect heart, when they brought David back, they went back to the beginning and they said, David, we did have victory when you went, when we went out with you. They was under Saul's influence. That's what they was under. Is that right? And they didn't understand it. But it was one of them that had the identical spirit as Saul, and that was old Doeg. Huh? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the one that did not mind killing the priest. The rest of them wouldn't do it. Old Doeg said, man, I can get some promotion out of this. I'd be glad to go in there and kill him. Promotion seekers. Is that right? You know what, friends? I ain't got a priest to go to heaven. I wouldn't mind sitting right there with you every sermon, sitting there listening to a preacher preach to me. That would not bother me, friends. But today you got some people feel like they can't go to heaven if they ain't got a position. A position that means more responsibility. People want positions, but they don't want the character that go with the position. Gifts will make room for themselves. And I believe when somebody got a, if God got something anointed on somebody for a position, I believe that God, the pastor probably already see it and don't say nothing because the congregation got to see it in that person too. Because you can't be affected in your own church. You can't go nowhere else and be effective. Can we say praise the Lord? I'm just being honest with you, brothers and sisters. This just what's on my heart and it's burning. So we see Josiah. After he read the book, his eyes become open. And friends, let's just keep going on down to some scripture here. I tell you what, I'm going to skip a lot of it. This is after she told him because his heart was tender, he'll go and be sleeping in the sepulchre with his father and stuff. But you know what Josiah did? Josiah began to go around on a cleaning house. He went on a cleaning house campaign. That's what Josiah did. You know what, friend? Josiah, if he wanted to, he could have been selfish, Brother Jeff, because the prophet just already told him where he was going to be. He could have been selfish, Brother Stephen. He could have just went back. Yeah, you guys in trouble. I know where I'm going. But because of his love and the desire he had for the people, even though it could not change that, he still tried. He changed everything that he could and made it right. And I'm going to tell you, if there's any man that ever stood on the face of this earth could have been selfish if he wanted to, was William Branham. Because when he went behind the curtain of time, they told him, keep pressing on, you'll be back here with us. He could have came back and said, well, I know where I'm going. Y'all in trouble. But no, because of the love that he got for the people, he began to scream out even harder, if you want to miss anything, miss tribulation. He could have been selfish if he wanted to, but he wasn't. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You'll never be concerned until you're first convinced. Amen. You got to be convinced. Then you'll become concerned about other people's lives. Amen. But today, what don't happen, we don't got in our own little secluded lives, our little families. Another family got problems. Yeah. Yes. I'm telling you something, friends. We ought to be like Bible believers. When a family got problems, we all group up together. Amen. And we begin to pray. We ought to do just like Nehemiah did in the book of Nehemiah when they was up on the wall. He said, when you hear the trumpet blow, resort hither. He said, we need to come together. Wherever you hear trouble at, we need to group together. That's what we need to do. Can we say praise the Lord? I'm almost done. I got a lot. Let's just go on a little further. If you will, turn to me to 2 Kings 23 now. I want to show you why I chose Josiah. The reason why I chose Josiah, it makes me think about the bride, of how his actions were and what he did. Because brothers and sisters, when Josiah realized that book, when it was open to him and he heard those words, if you keep reading the stories, the Bible said, I can't skip this. I tell you, I can't skip this. Let's go back to 2 Kings 23, I want to go to verse 4. I cannot skip this. I want to show you Josiah's actions. After he'd been told where he's going to be, watch his actions. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that was made of Baal, and for the groove, and for the host of heaven. And he burnt them without Jerusalem in the field of Kedron, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. Now think about all of those vessels in there that when he was a young boy, he probably knew about them, but they didn't bother him. Didn't mean nothing to him. For all he knew, they was all right. But now, because he heard those words, the book don't become open, he said, get that stuff out of there. You see, brother and sister, a lot of things, and I even preached it more to our young people, a lot of things, because you're doing it right now, that don't mean it's right from the beginning. Is that right? Do you realize, friends? Think about Josiah when he was a little boy. How his mama and daddy told them about great-great-great-great-granddaddy Solomon. No doubt they told him how great of a grandfather they had. Amen. Amen. I believe that was all my heart because that's the nature of the Jews. They tell about the fathers. Amen. Could you just imagine how beautiful they painted a picture how good Solomon was? But according to the scriptures, when Josiah, he found out his eyes was open, he went and tore down what his granddaddy built. That's why I challenge some of you young people, if you get the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life, get converted, you might even find out how backslidden your parents are.
Amen.
Come on, friends.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
You can be young. You can be young. And you ain't got to depend on mama and daddy telling you what's right. But because you got the Holy Ghost, God begin to show you what's right and what's wrong. Because one of the most crucial things parents can do, because they're living a little backslidden in their own life, so condemned within themselves, then that when they usually say, go ahead, go on, go on, go on, because they are condemned in their own hearts.
Right.
That's why parents got to have a right conviction.
Right.
All right, amen?
Amen?
Don't let that devil put something on your head and make you feel. I don't seen them do it many a time because they're feeling so low with themselves, they won't correct their kid because it'll bother their own conscience. That's why we as parents need to live a life in front of our children.
Yes,
live that life in front of our children. Keep our hearts pure and clean. Well, we can tell our young people that's wrong. And the young child won't be bad. Well, you let me do it. You used to let me do it because that's what they'll usually do. Whap, throw it right back at you. Friend, I'm not trying to be mean or harsh. I'm just telling you the truth.
Amen.
I'm trying to show you through the times and trends what's done happen.
Amen.
Compromising. Letting down the bars when we ought to keep. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If God reveals something to you in the Word 10 years ago or 20 years ago, something was wrong. What changed your revelation today that makes you think it's all right now?
Amen.
You know one of the biggest killers of our young people, Brother Jeff? Sports.
Amen.
You know why sports? Because sports and rap go together. Sports and rap go together. Soon as a rapper comes out, all he got to do, get them basketball players to wear a certain type of shoe, every kid be going to get it and try to be just like him. It all goes together. Jay-Z, look at all he owns so many, I can't remember what basketball team it is, owns it. He wanted the one to help pay him, a rapper. I'm going to tell you, if there's ever any demonic thing ever been put upon the face of this earth, it's rap music. How many of y'all ever took a thought that when you go on a car lot, what be a, not maybe the older generation, what usually catch people's eyes on a car lot today? Rims. The rims on the car.
Yes, sir.
When have you ever seen, it used to be a time you purchase a car, then you got to go separately get the rims that you want on it. Now it comes with it. But do you know where that come from? I can give you the information. It comes from rappers. I got all of the information, friend. It's a rapper. Y'all forgive me for saying his name. He called Busta Rhymes. That's his name. You know what he said? He said, it used to be a time when they didn't care for us. He said, it used to be a time they didn't care for us. He said, but now they can't do without us. Huh? I tell you what, your cartoons. And most of your cartoons, if some of you want to be honest that watch cartoons, if you just, when the movie is over, read the back of it. Who is most of the voices? Rappers. Injected right in there, brother. In the little cartoon, you might be very so innocent and want to watch it with your family. What kind of music they got on there? The latest song or the latest artist that's going on, they throw it right in there. That's nothing but the trick of the devil, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to show you some things, how it's so easy. And what the devil, see, Satan is not interested in trying to convince none of us in here tonight that William Branham is not a prophet. He ain't worried about that. He know you believe that. But he got to come another avenue to try to get you from living the life. That's what the devil has to do, brothers and sisters. And that's what he's doing. Can I have just a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes. I'm just trying to show you something. See, I study these things. That's why I like talking to the young people. Let them know I can relate to what you're going through. But at the same time, I can tell you what can take you through. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't give no excuses. It's a young boy in my church. He said, brother. I said, Daniel, what's going on in your life, son? When are you going to give your heart to the Lord? He said, brother, that public school is rough. I said, let me tell you something, young man. I said, the devil got you responding back to me that way. He wanted to let you use the public school for your excuse not receiving the Holy Ghost. I said, that's a lie from the devil. I said, stop saying that. I said, you can be in a public school with the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, and you can be an overcomer. Amen. I said, it's no excuse, Daniel. The time got to come. You got to realize your need for Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. I said, forget about all these excuses. I said, you got to realize your need for it. Can we say praise the Lord? Yes. See, I want to throw his mind away from the excuses and let him know, do you have a desire to serve him? And my own son told me, well, Dad, I'm procrastinating. He said, I know everything is wrong. I know what I need to do. I said, son, didn't do it. Don't worry about what you got to quit. Don't worry about all that. I said, just give him your heart, ask him to lead you, and you sincerely follow him. I said, these other things will fade away. Because you got to start somewhere. You know, I like what Brother Branham said in Ezekiel 36 when he talks about, I'll give you a new spirit. Brother Branham said, that's not the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham said, God got to give you a spirit to get along with the Holy Spirit. He said, because the devil spirit we was born with, you can't even get along with your wife. And I talked to young people in my church. I said, let's just work with that first. Ask God to give you a new spirit. You know, when God gives you a new spirit, that will give you a spirit to humble yourself. You'll begin to humble yourself when somebody begins to instruct you in the word of God. You ain't going to try to combat them. You'll sit. And what you'll do, when God can give you a new spirit, it calms you down. It gets you to start thinking right. Gets you to start thinking about holiness. Clean. Amen. Come on. I'm just quoting what he said. And what'll happen when I find a young person that they don't actually surrender to God, where God can calm them down, when you begin to talk to them, you can tell them something that they're doing, and they'll be like, I know it's wrong, but I'm really praying God will help me. I know that person got a new spirit that he'll able to listen. But they still got that old same nature. You tell them they're wrong. Well, I know that. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm human. I mean, yeah. Mm-mm. Nope. You ain't ready to listen yet. You're not ready to listen. But when you can get to a place, you'll sit and listen. I know God is really dealing with you. He said, brother, yeah, that's right, man. I know I've been, yeah, you're right. Even now, brother, I want to disagree with you, but I know you're telling the truth. That's the person you can keep working with. Keep working with. Because guess what? You cannot fully walk into the commandment until he said, I put my spirit within you.
That's right.
So you'll walk in my, keep my commandments and walk in my statutes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. But you know what, brothers and sisters, what we need to do and what we have done through the years, we've been trying to cure symptoms, but we ain't been getting to the cause. Can we say praise the Lord? You got to get down to the cause. I'm almost done. Almost done. You know, let me just skip this. Turn with me to, we're in 2 Kings chapter 23. Go to verse 25. Speaking of Josiah, this is why I think about the bride when I read about Josiah. Listen what it says. 2 Kings 23, 25. It said, and like unto him was there no king before him. that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. And there'll be a bride of Jesus Christ. There'll never been a people like the bride where her heart was turned back to the faith of the apostolic fathers, like the bride of Jesus Christ. It shows you how Josiah, his heart was completely turned, sold out to God. And God only got one people on the face of the earth is like that. That's his bride. That's why she'll begin to acknowledge things that she can look back. Lord, I was wrong. I'll make that right. And I'll keep moving on. She'll keep getting up, straighten things out, keep moving on. Is that right? And I'm going to tell you right now, friend, I got no problem. If I can see something I let down in my life, gather my family around, gather my kids around, say, look, Daddy was wrong. I should have never permitted that. That's wrong. We're not going to do that no more. Amen. I got no problem doing it. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But today, my brothers and sisters, the entertainment world, and I'm going to tell you right now, it get bad. I know there are certain things that you can watch, but I guarantee you, ain't nobody going to watch the Ten Commandments 100 times, 200 times. They ain't going to watch that. They ain't going to watch, Deep Call to the Deep. But then the rest of them, over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I can't even do the Deep Call to the Deep like that. Ten Commandments. Yeah. Amen. You got to realize something, brother and sister. Hollywood has been successful making that which is fake seem real. Hollywood has been successful. And what the devil is trying to do to get people that get what real seem fake. But it's not fake. It's the same power of God is here today that it was back there in 1965. That same Jesus Christ is here. And I wish to God, amongst you young people tonight, that I had me some Josiahs that were looking down in their own heart and say, I'm turning my heart to Jesus Christ. I don't want my own conviction. I don't want mom and dad to be my conviction. I want my own conviction. God, help me right now. Fill me with your spirit, and you can walk with a conviction. Amen. And there might be some things you need to tear down that parents might put up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. I'm so thankful for one young man. I appreciate him. He's a minister now. Granddaddy went astray. He said, Brother Burley, he said, I feel like I'm one of those wilderness babies. He said, I was born in the wilderness. He said, but I didn't follow granddaddy. His granddaddy went astray. He said, but I'm going on with Joshua. I said, God bless you. Amen. God bless you, young man. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to bring no division between parents and children. But my challenge tonight is parents to even look at yourself, what you've done. Yes. And be honest and talk to your child. And my other objective, the children, don't be disrespect your parents. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of young children know what is wrong, what their parents is doing. They won't say nothing because of respect, because that's mom and daddy. But I'm here to tell you what's going to happen. When you get a child like that, when you keep correcting him and keep correcting him, when he begin to get to an A, it'll be bitterness in his heart. He's going to lash back at you. Because he'll say, how can you tell me and look what you're doing? Yes. And I'm going to tell you right now, you got some parents, they done everything they can, live the life before their child, child still go astray. Is that right? But let me tell you something, friends. If something happened, a child go astray, let it not be that they could be able to say, because of my mama, because of my daddy, because of the church, because of the, let that not be. Let it be, if they go astray, they can say, it ain't got nothing to do with my mama, my dad, or the church. Those are God people. It's me. Let it be that. Don't give them no excuses to be able to tag something on you. Friends, I watch young people's lives, parents, all through the years. I've been watching these things, studying. And I encourage the parents, let's live that life right in front of them. Amen. Keep your standards. Amen. I don't care how much they boo-hoo or cry. Amen. Just stay right there with your standards. Amen. Just stay right there. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a young man in my church, bless his heart. The young boy is 6'5". He's 6'5". And you talking about going through some hard times in school? He want to play basketball. But you know, I know from the bottom of my heart, that'll be the very thing that ruined him. I know that from the bottom of my heart. But you know what I done? I said, son, let's see what your mama say about it. I already knew what I was telling. I said, let's see what your mama said about it. Single mom, bless her heart. And the school got no respect. the school because she worked second shift. Her son get out of school, don't come home. She don't have no knowledge of it. Practicing basketball. And guess what? Coach come and pick him up without her consent. They didn't care. Only thing they looking at, another vessel to make sport out of to help us win our games. That's the only thing they cared about. I said, young man, why do you want to play? He said, my friends tell me about how much fun that they have. I said, do they ever say anything about the women, the drugs, and all of the rest of the stuff that goes with it? He said, no. I said, but it's there. I said, it is there, son. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Whenever you got young people in the message, get into the sports in the school. The devil makes sure you're successful to bring that pressure on you. He will make sure you get the attention to get that pressure to keep pulling you away from God. I'm just being honest with you. I've seen it through the years how these things happen. Now, whatever your decision is, I'm just giving you an example of what I've seen take place, Brother Jeff. I've seen it ruin young people's lives. That's why I tell my young people, I say, man, find you a little church and play some little basketball sport, because what done happened, they have got away from sportsmanship. It's nothing but who's going to win, who is the dog, who is the big man. I don't see in message churches, young people get so arrogant with these sports, they begin to use profanity, they begin to separate their friendship because one can shoot better than the other, and it brings a separation amongst them. That is a demon spirit. That's what that is. When it should, back in our day, we could play a basketball game. If we lose, man, good game. But today, you get shot. Friend, I can tell you incidents, young people getting shot over dog fights. I'm telling you, crazy stuff. Brother, up north, you farther you go down south, I'm here to tell you, the harder it gets down south. I've been all around each state, and I study each state everywhere I go to. Now, far as coming up here, rap is here, but it'll be stronger down south. It'll be a whole lot stronger. Up here, you'll be dealing more with country and rock and roll, stuff like that. But the farther you go down south, rap. The country don't really bother. It's rap music, and it's working its way. It's getting worse and worse coming this way. That rapper said out of his own mouth, he said, here I am, a rapper. He said, I can go into any country on the face of this earth. He said, they don't even speak English. He said, but when I leave, every one of them young children recite my rhymes. That's the power that goes behind that stuff. Friend, that's what I come from. And this music that our young people don't got into now, you might wonder. I tell you something, friends. Sometimes it'll do you good. You might wonder, I can look at certain kids, the way they dress. If I got any idea who that superstar is, I know who they imitating. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all know? Let me tell you this. I'm closing, Brother Jeff. I don't preach to Michael Jordan. I preach to Kobe Bryant. I preach to Dwayne Wade. I don't preach to all them guys. I had a chance to share the message with them. You know how? Because all of their images is in my church. The images. We don't preach to every one of them because they try to be just like them. And I'm sharing this with you, friend, with the love of God in my heart. Look at Josiah. Other word, Josiah, they could have said, Josiah, why are you acting like this? He took care of the sodomite. He wiped everything down. They could have said, why are you acting like this? Josiah could have said, because in the beginning, this wasn't so. This wasn't so. He said, I'm only going back to where it was when that temple was built, how Solomon should have stayed, my granddaddy. Back to the beginning, brothers and sisters. And I tell you right now, there's so much going on. And I'm really, Brother Jeff, you can make your way up. I'm really trying to close. I'll never forget one day, I was looking at my family photo album. My family photo album. I was looking in it, looking at the kid, just smiling. I went to my son's room one day. And he had a poster on the wall. What his name? LeJames Brown. Braun, I can never get his name right. LeBron James, I think that's his name. Basketball player. I happened to walk into his room. He had a picture of him on the wall. And I said, oh, my God. I said, that guy's in my photo album. Because my son, that was the one he wanted to be like. He took his pictures like him. He dressed like him. He stood like him. I said, this man is in my photo album. Get that picture off my wall. And the Bible said in the book of Numbers, do away with the idols, the pictures,
He said, take all of it away. That's the Bible. Isn't that right? And I cannot understand to the day, why would people want to get Guitar Hero in their homes? Is it gospel music? No. The little Xbox, brother, if y'all not familiar with it, your children, get it for me, get it for me. Guitar Hero. They ain't going to play it while you home. But when you go, that's what it is, rock and roll. I'm trying to give you some eye-openers, friends. All these little things. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. All these games, music comes behind them. And your child just want to get them headphones on, be looking right at you, smile, listening to rap. You be like, and got rap going right through the headphone. And you're like, oh, he's just playing his game, sure. Listening to rap music.
Yes.
I'm just trying to give you some insight. On all these little things, because some of the best deception today is do it openly, right in front of you, because you don't have the knowledge of it. They take the pride to do it right in front of you and be smiling. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just because you see that CD got gospel on it, Franco can tell you better than that, thanks to Lightscribe. Put any label you want on it. That's why it might do you some good, parents, sometimes. Just say, let me see it. It's a gospel. It's a gospel. Let me see it. Why are you doing this to me? It's a gospel CD. You see it written on there. Let me hold it and stick it in there and listen to it yourself. You might be surprised what you hear.
Yes,
I'm just being honest with you. And I'm going to tell you something, young people. You don't have to do that.
Right.
You don't have to be like that.
Right.
You can be honest. What messed you young people up, you got somebody you idolize. Could be somebody sitting right in the church and they are not living right and they're going to influence you just like they are. Won't you want to be just like Jesus Christ? Get around the right influences. One of the best things Brother Branham ever said, he said, what should we do? How should we teach our children? He said in the COD book, he said, keep them with Christian companies as much as possible.
Amen.
He said, if they mess around with the wrong boy, encourage them to stay away from that and be with the right kind of company.
Amen.
Let us stand. Brother Jeff, you better come. I'll keep going. And I don't want to take you where you out no more. But friends, I hope you catch what was in my heart. There's a lot of things I could have named, but I'd rather for you to put the name to it yourself. If you haven't fallen from it, may the Lord bless you. But if you can see certain things where you let down the bar, how it affect your child, you deal with it. Trust me, I can name plenty of things, but I'd rather for you to use your own conscience and let God speak to your hearts. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. Come, Brother Jeff. God bless you.
Timely. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Search me, O Lord. And I want you to... I'll start with Mom and Dad. Remember my sermons we've been on lately on the original intent of God, going back to the beginning, that it wasn't so from the beginning. And what brings a conversion is a godly mom and a dad. And as Brother Burley said, you can do all that you can do, live right, and your kids can still be so completely pulled by the world and intellect and reasoning. Satan appeals to a young man's reasoning. He appeals to pride and he appeals to womanly vanity and beauty. There's not hardly a magazine or anything that you see in a grocery store, but what's appealing to a teenager. It's not appealing to a 90-year-old man or woman. Everything today in the realms of entertainment appeals to our youth. And so the battle for the soul and the heart and the mind of the youth is incredible. Satan wants you when you're young. So does God. God wants you now, while your heart is moldable and impressionable. Maybe you're a teenager. And if you use the excuse, well, my mom and my dad, they're not perfect. They make their mistakes. They have their problems. I want you to realize that when you stand before God, you won't be standing with your mom and dad. At the white throne judgment, you won't be standing with your mom and dad. God will ask you, what did you do with the preacher's sermon? What did you do with the preacher's sermon? What did you do when I convicted you, when I spoke to you, when I whispered to you? And as we've said before, and I've confessed to you, and each parent would be able to have the same confession. You say, Brother Jeff, how often do you have to make adjustments in your life? And I say to you, every day, I'm constantly refining and fine-tuning my life. And when I hear Brother Burley preach, I say, okay, praise God, I got some other fine-tuning to do. And I'm ready to do it. I'm zealous to do it. I'm excited to do it. And I know it'll have a great impact, ever so subtle, but I know the impact over time. It'll have a great impact in my family, in my heart, in my life. And I believe there are many parents here that would say, Brother Jeff, I got some adjusting to do. I've got some repenting to do. And I'm gonna make some corrections in my heart, my life, and my home. And you do it right. And you do it with the right spirit. Do it with the spirit of humility. If you have some repenting to do, repent. Even if it's to your children, go back and say, hey, I'm sorry. I permitted this or I allowed that, and it's not in keeping with the Holy Ghost. And I've got to make a choice here. I've got to make a decision here. And I believe the Holy Spirit will lead you. I believe the Holy Spirit will guide you as to what to do. And dealing with each one of your children according to their respective ages. And God will give you that leadership. It's real easy when they're itty bitty. It's really easy when they're below 12. But when they get above 12, your children are gaining a degree of independence. And they try to assert that independence. But you know ultimately what's best for them. You know what is needful for their mind, their heart, their home, their little atmosphere, their bedroom. And so it's important that you have jurisdiction. As I've said many times, you are their Holy Ghost until they get the Holy Ghost. But God can give you wisdom as to how to do that. Every home, every child, every mother and father, God can give you wisdom. But how many would like to say, I would like to be that Josiah, to follow the Lord with all my heart and to do everything that is right and to tear down all the idols and everything and anything in the way of imagery that is anti-God. Any imagery, anything that comes before your mind and your eyes or your ears that merely glorifies the flesh and is arrogant, but it doesn't glorify God and it's humble. A simple measure is can you invite Jesus Christ into whatever you're doing? If it's a game, can Jesus play that game with you? If it's a movie, can Jesus watch that movie? Could you sit down and invite him to watch that? Does it edify? Does it lift up? Whatsoever things are lovely and true and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, lovely, true, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, these are the things you think upon. Brother Bertie said God still has rules. He has laws. They're in place. You break those laws, you reap what you sow. And you suffer. And sometimes the laws and the rules we break is a little here and a little there. And before you know it, all those creeper vines have grown up around us and it's choking out the life. Pray for your children. Children, pray for your daddy and your mom. I pray for the leadership. Brother Chad just preached about leadership and that big oak and the kids looking up to that big oak. And so look, each one of you that are leaders in your home, moms and dads, you're the leaders, you're the guides. And it's the harmony that you exhibit between one another. And you two pray now and say, okay, we've got to make some changes. Then you pray together and say, this is how I think we should do it. And God will lead you. He'll guide you. Every church is going to have weak families. We can't avoid that. If somebody asked me, oh, I'd rather have 10 strong families than have an empty church, but I'd be preaching to 10 strong families, that sounds good, but that's not a biblical picture. In every church, you'll have believers make believers and unbelievers. But we still warn, we still preach a standard, and pray that those families that are in compromise will come up higher. So, well, Brother Jeff, some of my children are being influenced adversely by the other children and what they have in their home, and they want to be over there, and they say, well, so-and-so has it. Well, what might be permissible for that family, you tell your kids, is not permissible for your family. And if you have to separate that influence for a season until that family makes the necessary adjustments, then you separate so that your family can be preserved. You do your best as much as lies within you. Being a pastor, I deal with a lot of compromise and negativity that people are going through around the world and locally in our own church. And I know parents that are suffering and dads that are compromising, but my kids know nothing about that. My wife, 99 9/10 of it, she doesn't even know. I don't burden my family with any of that. As far as my kids think, everybody in this church is a spiritual celebrity, somebody to look up to. And I want to keep them that way. I want them to think that every single person in this church is somebody to look up to, somebody to respect, somebody to pray for. But I know each one has their struggles on their various levels. There's not a family here that's exempt. So make those adjustments. I'm going to make mine. Make those adjustments. You pray, and God will guide you. Lord, thank you for Brother Burley. Thank you for that evangelistic gift. Not only is he been born and bred an evangelist over the years, but now it's fallen his lot to pastor. And I thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for the times when he can come by and be a blessing to us and to preach the word of God from that gifted standpoint. And those of you that have drifted from family altar, get the family altar back. You'll find that most of those problems that you have in your home in the way of entertainment, it's because you've let down on the family altar. Get that fiery altar back again. Get that family altar back. There's a lot of material in the church library that you can use for family altar. And man of God, be on your face. Daddy, be on your face. Be seeking God. Remember now, be patient with those kids. Everything is thrown at them. Understand that what they're going through is a temptation on a level that you and I, and I'm in my 50s, and you and I never ever incurred. We never had such an adverse, ungodly, satanic influence bombarding us everywhere we go. We didn't have that, but this generation does. They have it in their cell phones, their iPods, their MySpace. The list is endless. Everywhere they turn, there's something to try to take their attention away from God, rob them of time with God, and slowly weaken them and take the strength right out of them, like a bunch of leeches in a river attaching to their skin and sucking the blood right out of them. So understand their battle, pray for them, and keep the token plied in your home. Keep the token applied in your home. Father God, thank you so much for this time together. On this Wednesday night, I'm thinking the whole time Brother Burley's preaching, man, I wish every single family was here tonight. But God, you and your grace and sovereign will have a plan. Lord, thank you for the wisdom of God in a fivefold ministry. I appreciate that. And those that have just come voluntarily to the altar just to pray, to maybe rededicate or consecrate, or just to purge their own heart and mind, or to gain wisdom. Lord, I pray you bless them as well. We commit our life afresh and anew to you, Lord Jesus. So we desire to go back to Ephesians, back to our first love, to repent and return and do the first works to our first love. And you are our first love. You are our first love. May you be the preeminent one in our life. May we spend our time drawing near to you I pray, Father God, that you'll bless every heart and mind. Lord, coming on Christmas, may this be an opportunity for each family to reestablish over the holiday that closer, intimate walk with one another and with their family. And as Brother Burley said, as soon as Josiah saw it, he said, "That's it. I see error in my way. I'm going to change." That's as simple as it is. I see the error. I'm going to change. And God will give you that power to do it. And it's a good thing to say it out loud. "Lord, this is where I need to make changes. Give me now the strength and the power to do it. Give me the wisdom to do it." And most of the changes that you have to make for yourself that are personal aren't that big. Perhaps for some of you they are, but I mean as a parent. But the changes you have to make to realign things with your children, that's what you pray for wisdom. God will give you that wisdom. He'll give you that wisdom, but you do it. And watch how God blesses you. "Oh, search me, oh Lord, and know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior." That's what he did tonight. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. "Oh, and know my thoughts, I pray. Holy Spirit, oh Holy Spirit, revival comes from thee. Revival comes from thee. Send a revival. Send a revival. Start the work in me. The work in me. Thy word declares. Declares. Hallelujah. Thou wilt supply our need. Pour blessings now. God. You remember how Brother Branham talked about how we get a revival? Brother Lonnie and Brother Steve, could you come help her, Brother Dave? You remember how he said how you get a revival? He said you got to have a killing so you can have a revival. Before there could ever be a resurrection, there had to be a death. So how many can say, I want a killing? Amen. Did you say, well, Brother Jeff, what is that? Well, Paul said, I die every day. Die daily. Want a killing. Hallelujah. I look forward to a killing. Did you know that the scripture says, better is the day of mourning than the day of mirth? Because he says, mourning maketh the countenance sad, but causes the heart to think. And as Brother Burley said, sometimes we just don't think when things are going really good. We don't think deep. We can. How fast can it? Can we become surface? Pretty fast, huh? Pretty fast. God help me. We've got a few days of holiday coming up. It can be just sort of mindless festivity, or something very meaningful and wonderful can come out of these next 3 days. And that's entirely up to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. We're going to dismiss you with a song. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. And I got another one actually I'd like to sing. I wrote it down just a moment ago. I want to sing that for a dismissal song. Jesus, draw me close. Jesus, draw me close. Oh Jesus, draw me close. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Closer, Lord, to you. And let the world around me fade away. Yes, Jesus, draw me close. Oh, closer, Lord, to you. Take those deep. For I desire to worship. Yes, Lord. Oh, closer, Lord, to you. And let the world around me fade away. Is that your prayer? Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Yes, closer, Lord. Desire to worship and obey. Think about the words as you sing them to him now. Yes, Jesus, draw me close. Sir, Lord, to you. And let the world around me fade. For I desire to worship and obey. Burn on, burn on. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Till all my dross is burned away. Prepare me for that testing day. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Yes, burn on, burn on. Amen. Till all of God burn on. Till all my soul Christ's image bears, his holy heavenly nature wears. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Yes, burn on, burn on. Amen. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Till all my dross is burned away. Prepare me for that testing. I think it was the first song you were playing tonight, Shackled by a Heavy Burden. That was it. I was shackled
by a heavy burden, and neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. My soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior,